Harlequin and Columbine. Columbine wept and pleaded, but Pantalone was determined to marry her to Captain Spaventi.
But, Father, I've never even seen him. How can I love a husband I've never seen? Harlequin says Spaventi waves his sword about in the street and shouts at people all the time. And he's so old. I mean, he's almost as old as you, Father.
Old Pantalone stamped his foot and gave a roar of anger. Not another word! You will marry Spaventi, and you'll marry him next week. Go to your room!
Columbine ran sobbing to her room and threw herself down on the bed. Her crying could be heard clearly from the kitchen, where Harlequin was cooking the dinner. He was so unhappy for his beloved Columbine that his own tears dropped into the soup and made it salty. That night, he crept upstairs and whispered through Columbine's door.
Please don't cry any more, Columbine. I've been thinking. Captain Spaventi has never seen you, has he?
No, never,
sniffed Columbine, opening the door a crack.
He only wants to marry me because he knows Father is rich.
Then Harlequin laughed out loud and Columbine wailed.
How can you, Harlequin? Fancy laughing at me when my heart's broken in pieces. I hate you. Go away.
But Harlequin somersaulted happily down the stairs.
He had a plan.
The captain was drinking, as usual, at his favourite canalside inn.
Drinks for everyone, he bawled. When I am married to Columbine, you can all come round and drink Pantalone's wine.
The innkeeper coughed nervously.
Will you pay your bills when you're married, sir? You do owe rather a lot.
Spaventi waved his sword threateningly.
All in good time. Who's this little ninny in the patchwork suit? And who said he could moor his gondola there?
Harlequin crooked his finger at Captain Spaventi.
Could I have a private word with you, Your Honour?
You? Talk to me? I have a good mind to throw you in the canal.
Harlequin dodged out of reach.
But my mistress Columbine sent me with a message for you.
Why didn't you say so? Spit it out, lad.
Spaventi grinned, showing a row of black and broken teeth. Harlequin stood on tiptoe to whisper.
She's heard about your good looks, Signor, and she says, would you come and visit her at her house?
Spaventi whistled.
So, she can't wait to see me, eh? Well, that's not surprising. Not surprising at all. I'll come now. I'd like to see this famous beauty.
No!
Harlequin leapt aboard his gondola and pushed off.
Not tonight. No, come at noon tomorrow, when Pantalone is out. Good night, Captain.
Next morning, Harlequin was kept busy fetching and carrying for Pantalone. He did not have a minute free to speak to Columbine. The moment Pantalone left the house, Harlequin raced upstairs and hammered on her door.
Let me in, Columbine. Your fiancé will be here any moment and we have a lot to do.
Columbine opened her door. Her face was white.
What do you mean, here any moment?
I invited him. Now take your dress off and fetch me your makeup box.
Columbine was too surprised to argue. She slipped out of her satin gown, and Harlequin stepped into it. He stuffed a pillow down the front to make himself look fat. He pushed up the sleeves so that his muscly arms showed. He tossed a ball of knitting wool into one of Columbine's hats and crammed it on his head so that the wool spilled down round his ears. "Now, paint my face, Columbine, and make me really ugly. We'll give Captain Spaventy the fright of his life." Columbine clapped her hands in delight and began to daub Harlequin's face with rouge and lipstick. She was still busy when there were footsteps on the stairs. "He's here. Where can I hide?" She tried to squeeze under the bed, but it was too low. She tried to hide in the cupboard, but it was too full of dresses.
"Oh, Harlequin, he'd see me."
Harlequin lifted his skirt. "Hide under my dress," he said. Knock, knock, knock.
"Oh, Columbine! Oh, Columbine! I've come to visit you, Pigeon. Your brave captain is here to see you."
Harlequin threw open the door so that it crashed against the wall. He grabbed Captain Spaventy's head and plonked a kiss on the top of it.
"Oh, you're just as handsome as they say you are."
Captain Spaventy stared and spluttered.
"Oh, well, I do have to wear glasses mostly, but I wanted to look my best today."
"Your best?" snorted Captain Spaventy.
"Yes, yes, but I can't promise always to look so pretty."
"Pretty?" gasped Captain Spaventy.
"Oh, I see you're admiring my hair," said Harlequin, tugging at a strand of wool. "I'm afraid it's a wig. I'm rather bald, you see."
"Bald?"
Underneath Harlequin's skirt, Columbine was trying so hard not to laugh that she toppled over.
"What was that?"
demanded Spaventy, staring at Harlequin's skirt.
"Oh, that was just my wooden leg," he giggled. It does tend to fall off sometimes."
Columbine let out a shriek of laughter that made both men jump.
Just my indigestion," said Harlequin quickly. "I'm a martyr to indigestion." "Oh, are you going already? I wanted to talk about our wedding plans. Captain Spaventy."
The captain did not stop to open the door, but leapt straight out of the open window, shrieking,
"No! No! I'd rather stay a bachelor till I die! I won't! I won't! I won't!"
Columbine rolled from under the skirt. Her sides ached with laughing. She jumped to her feet and hugged Harlequin tight.
"Oh, thank you! Thank you, Harlequin! You were wonderful and so brave!
Why would you risk such a thing just for me?" "Because I love you, Columbine. I couldn't let Captain Spaventy marry you, because I'm going to marry you myself."
"Oh, no, you're not!"
The bedroom door burst open, and there stood Pantalone. His clothes were all dusty and his hat was askew.
"First Spaventy jumps out of the window on top of me and squashes me like a beetle. Then I find my daughter in her underwear, hugging the servant. Take that, you rascal, and that, oh, and that, and that."
And Pantalone beat Harlequin all round the houses, across the piazza, and right into the canal.
"And don't come back," he shouted. "I'll find myself another servant, and I'll marry Columbine to the first man who'll have her."
That night, Harlequin crept back to the house and sang sad love songs under Columbine's balcony.
"Oh, Columbine, why can't you see? Sweet Columbine, you meant
The shutters at the window were closed tight, and all the lights in the house were quenched.